There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have y'all along. And back from sunny Southern California to sunny Southern Alabama. I still don't know. We talked about it last week. We're still in negotiations with Katie Porter. You know, just when she becomes governor of California. You know, a lot of in-depth conversations while I was out there with Katie Porter's people and Ms. Porter about how perfect a guy like me from South Alabama would be as part of Katie Porter's staff, I think, maybe chief of staff. So I'll let you know how that's going. In the meantime, 251-343-0106 gets you through on a call or a text. 251-343-0106. All right. Coming up today, we'll talk about it with our next guest here in just a second. Another assassination attempt on the president. We'll get into detail on that in just a little bit and probably start off that way too. You know him, you love him from his work at Alabama Daily News and under the lights and camera in action at Capital Journal, the crowd goes wild for Todd Stacey. Hey, Todd.
Don, how's it going?
It's going good, man. So what do you think? You worked, you were part of a governor's staff there, a big part of governor's staff. What do you think? I was out in California. I told the folks, they were like, why are you out there? Why are you out there? I said, of course, obvious. I'm interviewing for a job with Katie Porter to be a, don't you think I'd fit perfectly?
Yeah, I think she could use some of your common sense there.
Yeah, she yells at me one time, I'm out.
Your coastal common sense, absolutely. Now that's a crazy race out there. I mean, to think that creepazoid was actually gonna maybe win that thing, but you know.
And then to hear, so I was out there during they had their debate the other night and listened to a little bit of it. I'm like, it's just not the same. I love our republic. I love having, 50 states with different styles because I heard that what they were debating in it. And I said, this is definitely not home. This is definitely a California thing. Not, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me for coming from Alabama.
Yeah, I'm sure it can probably seem like a different language, but that's a pretty cool trip. I'm glad you got to go.
Yeah, it was fun. Want to talk about back here at home as well, and I want to get into some of a conversation about possibility of a special session. I want to get to that, but first, your reaction to yet another attempted assassination on Trump.
I mean, I was pretty shocked, but not surprised. Is that what we say? Where you're jolted that, oh my God, this happened again, but you're also not surprised that, of course, this is just becoming all too common of a trend. What a bad plan. I mean, obviously this guy was unhinged. I think you got to be pretty unhinged if you are going to try to, assassinate anybody, much less the president. But to think that one guy was going to make it through layers and layers of security to actually do anybody any harm, it's just crazy. I guess we'll learn a lot more about just how crazy he is. But we know what we need to know. He was radicalized to the point where he thought that killing the president was the only way to get the outcomes that he wants, and that's the bad thing. That's what we can learn from. You can't stop crazy. You're always going to have crazy people. I don't know if you saw that recent James Garfield documentary. Or that's like a Netflix show. You ought to. It's Death by Lightning. I didn't read the book, but Netflix made a series out of it about the assassination of James Garfield. You know, that's kind of the forgotten assassination, but, you know, it was a crazy guy. It was a crazy guy. And if I think it was Kennedy or somebody said, you know, if somebody's out of their mind and just willing to give their life, you know, they can probably get pretty close to killing a president. And so, anyway, we'll see what just how crazy this guy was. But clearly, he was radicalized with a leftist intent that only killing the president would bring to bear any kind of, you know, change that he wanted. That's wrong.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, I mentioned talking to Jeff as he closed out his show, and that's exactly it. The idea that you're going to change anything, like, you killed the president, or wounded the president, or somebody that, you know, we got Grassley becomes president. Does he think that the policies are going to change? That people are going to say, oh, because you killed this guy, then of course we'll change the policy. I mean, that's the backwards part of it.
Right, because we're rational people and we get reality. Clearly, this person doesn't. But also, I think and we've said this before, but, you know, a lot of the rhetoric doesn't help. You know, there were people outside of that building Saturday night with, you know, talking about death to Trump and things like that. I mean, there is a not small number of people on the left that really do want to see him killed, want to see him dead. That's not healthy. That's not healthy mentally, but it's certainly not healthy politically for our country for that kind of belief just to exist. We're supposed to be able to resolve our differences through persuasion and discussion and debate, not through death and violence.
For sure. All right, bringing it back home here to Alabama, let's talk about this. I've heard it two different places, so I'll go to you to find out. Any rumors about a special session coming up for the legislature?
No. In fact, they would find it kind of hard because the State House staff is currently in the process of tearing up the House and Senate chambers to move across the street. I mean, it's possible they could, but what specifically are you talking? Not really.
They were talking about for gambling again. You know, it said whether it's going to come up this summer.
I don't know where that came from, but I would highly doubt it. And so, no, I mean, changed my mind, but no.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Well, that's why I'm putting it through. Yeah, putting it through the truth-o-meter, man.
Well, what I would say on that is the votes haven't changed, and in the Senate, the votes haven't changed. And so, even if the governor had a wild hair, I mean, she doesn't do things unless she knows the outcome. Right, like don't call a special session to try to pass gambling stuff.
Right, unless you know, it's like whipping the votes. Yeah, you don't call the votes.
You got to have the votes.
Yeah,
and I don't think the votes in the Senate have changed any. In fact, I would say they're only more hardened. Like take Jack Williams for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a yes vote years ago. I guess that was what 3 or 4 years ago on that gambling plan. But then he started running for a statewide commissioner of agriculture. And his vote changed to a no during the last iteration 2 years ago. So, I mean, I don't know why his vote would change. He's, you know, trying to campaign and all that. And so, anyway, no, I don't think that's going to come up.
Okay. I want to talk about the story you have about fundraising going on here. Your headline, delegation incumbents have wide fundraising leads. Let's talk about how wide they are. And then I want to talk about how much money is in some of these races, man. Every cycle I seem to get amazed, and I'm amazed again.
Yeah, it's good to be an incumbent. These aren't necessarily really races. But certainly, yeah, the incumbents running for Congress have always had a pretty good financial advantage, I guess. You know, the only open race is down there in AL1, so we'll take that off the board. But in AL2, yeah, Shamari Figures, $316,000. Now, Hampton Harris, his opponent, his Republican opponent, has $204,000. That's decent,
mm-hmm.
But I still think that's a Democratic seat for the time being. But the big outlier, there's two of them. That's Mike Rogers, a long-term incumbent. $2.6 million in his war chest. Nobody's going to touch that. Nobody's going to try to come after him. Terry Sewell, $3.7 million. Yeah, that's how you avoid an opponent, is having that much money in the bank. But even some, you know, like Dale Strong, he's only been there two terms. He's got $1.3 million. And so that
Where's all this money coming from?
Well, think about Huntsville. There's a lot of defense money up there. There were certain, when I was working in Congress, like there were certain cities that you knew you could go to and fundraise well. Huntsville's one of them because they've got so many defense contractors and things like that. Now, I'm not saying that's all of it, but I would be surprised if there wasn't a significant amount.
What about, and I was thinking about this because on Capital Journal, you had one of the candidates here, this AG race here. I mean, that's a lot of money around this.
There's a lot of money. Of course, you know, the difference is in state races, it's pretty much unlimited. Mm-hmm. So like in a federal race, there's limits to how much you can give and jointly with your spouse. And, you know, there's just federal limits that from that McCain-Feingold law. Same thing with PAC. So it's really tough to raise money for a federal race on the campaign side. State races, unlimited. You could write $1 million check tomorrow and that'd be fine. It's a bit of an arms race. I think this Catherine Robertson, Jay Mitchell, Pamela Casey race is the real one to watch here in about 3 weeks, because three really high qualified candidates, you know, starting to get a little chippy. You're going to see a lot of these ads. But it might be really close. And, yeah, all this money is being spent right now. It's being spent on your airwaves. It's being spent on the television airwaves and in the mail. And that now is the persuasion time, because people are finally starting to tune in.
Yeah, that's for sure. And as we wrap up here, y'all, we're talking to Todd Stacey. You watch him on Capital Journal. Read it over at AlabamaDailyNews.com. But voters to decide on two constitutional amendments during the primary. So let's get people ready as we try to, in the next week or two, I'll start going through the ballots with folks. But give them a heads up.
About the
constitutional amendments. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Normally, these things don't go on the ballot until general elections, but these are, you know, these are ready to go, so to speak. One is it would expand the list of criminal offenses for which judges may deny bail. You may remember we passed Anaya's law that allows judges to deny bail for anybody that is in jail for a violent crime. The reason for that is the guy that killed Anaya Blanchard was in jail for a violent crime, but got bail and then ended up getting out and killing somebody. And so this, we passed a constitutional amendment to stop that. This would expand those lists of offenses. So if it was attempted murder or conspiracy to commit murder or shooting into a vehicle, any kind of violent act like that, a judge could deny you bail. That's on the ballot for yes or no. And the other one has to do with district attorneys' compensation. They're trying to get district attorneys paid more. It's hard to recruit prosecutors. You know, they can sometimes make a lot more money in the private sector. We'd like to be able to incentivize that. And so this constitutional amendment would make sure that compensation for district attorneys doesn't decrease any during their term of service. So anyway, flip the ballot over and vote yes for those two constitutional amendments.
That's right. Flip it over. There's still more. All right. People want to check out the newsletter like I do. How do they get signed up?
It's really easy. Just go to aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. You can sign up right there on the homepage. Just enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list.
All right, good stuff. And Capital Journal, they can check out on the YouTube, right?
They can, and importantly about that, we try to interview all statewide candidates. And so you can go to YouTube, and we're going to put all the candidate interviews up there so you can look for yourself. You know, these generally go from 10 to 12 minutes, so it's a good, you know, lengthier look at these candidates, and that's what we're trying to do here around election time.
Good stuff, Todd. We'll talk next week.
All right, Sean, be good.
All right, there goes Todd Stacey. We're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1224, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. My man Trey, gosh, he's pushing 18-plus years of getting junk gone in Mobile and Baldwin County. And continues to do it for, well, you look at the reviews out there, the Google reviews, and they are stellar. And you know what's important about that, too, is the internet's full of people complaining. And we'll get to that, right? It's full of people complaining. So when somebody enjoys a service so much that they go online to post something positive about the service, there's a multiplier effect with that. It's even bigger. 1-800-GOT-JUNK is getting junk gone from your house, around your house. I point that out, too, because Trey says, hey, we get big stuff, too. Above-ground swimming pools, trampolines, swing sets, storage buildings, those kind of things they can handle. Of course, stuff inside a home or maybe in an office, a shop, a storage unit, wherever. You got the junk, you need it gone. It's very easy. You pick up the phone, and their name is the number. Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or go online if you want to do it that way, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Either place, so they're going to find out the day you want to do this, the time you want to do it, and set a good old-fashioned appointment. They show up. All you got to do is point at the junk you want gone. They'll quote you a price right there on the spot. You say yes, they get it done and get it gone. Used them personally, use them with this radio station. Fantastic service from homeboy Trey and the crew with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So check them out today. Yeah, we'll get to some of the crazy stuff on the internet in just a little bit. Let's see. Let's get a couple texts in here. Here's one. Okay, Scrollverine. People need to stop writing this attacker as crazy when he is no different from every single liberal protester and whiners online. They aren't burnout failures. They are normal, trendy, common people. But the Democrat voters like to push the narrative that they are peaceful and in the right on the right side of history. This needs to be acknowledged and handled accordingly. Employers, relatives of these radicals need to take them seriously, as well as law enforcement agents and radio hosts. So there you go. The idea of the crazy thing, right? I would say, so let's just, are there people that are calling for this or cheering on this that aren't crazy like that? Scrovering, yeah, they are. I think they're misguided. And it's frustration because to hear this kind of rhetoric, and I can go, listen, you don't have to like him, you know, and you vote him out. We have a process. This is why we're not, you know, the third world. This is, well, and we got a lot of money, but this is why we're, you know, have a system here to move somebody out of office at a certain point that is prescribed in the law. You vote them out if you don't like them. But this idea of taking people out, the crazy part, though, Scrovering, is the idea of any of these people thinking an attack like that. So they list their grievances, right? And they think an attack like that will change these things. That you ever go, oh, okay, well, if they're going to kill somebody for it, then we're not going to do that anymore. That's the part I'm saying is great. The cause and effect there, you know, it's like people talked about January 6th. You're talking about an insurrection, right? They're going to really, were they going to overthrow the government? I mean, was Chewbacca and company going to overthrow? What were they going to do? How were they going to then take over the government? That was the thing with those. Now, you can talk about a riot and all those things. That's fine. But to say it was that they were going to go in with no guns and they're going to take over and the military's just going to let them have it. I mean, so there's a disconnect there. Same thing here. Like people wants to take out the person, not because I hate the person, but in this guy's manifesto here, he was going to make, you know, these things that he couldn't live with. Like, well, those things wouldn't, if you believe they're the fault of the government, they're still not going to change if you assassinate someone. Now, and we'll talk about this after the news, but I got to hear from y'all on this at 251-343-0106. Is security lapse? Yeah, it's. And I know the president's come out and said, you know, Secret Service did great and all these things. But how can you? I mean, this is some guy traveling from Torrance, California, to do it. How many years have we been talking about, even before this Iran war, that they're Iranians? The same way, you know, we put hits out we don't officially as a government, but if it happens, it happens, right? The Iranians have been trying to assassinate Trump over the Soleimani thing and a couple. If you'd had somebody in there with a bomb, and you could say, well, you know, the bomb-sniffing dog. Well, bomb-sniffing dogs also can smell cordite, right, from ammunition. And if you check in days beforehand and you have access inside that whole building is not an envelope, it's just the ballroom area. It's quite worrisome to me that you're in a setup there for, I mean, what could have happened? What really could have happened is chilling, for sure. But your thoughts on this when we get back, 251-343-0106.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along, and good to check in with my friend Anna, who is like my personal gift algorithm. I mean, she's a fully functioning human being, but she does it like she was a computer as well. Hey, Anna.
Hey.
Hey. And one of those critical times coming up very soon. It is Mother's Day on May 10th. Y'all making everybody aware. Put that in. Mother's Day, May 10th. You're lucky enough to still have your moms around. Be thinking about that. You got some gift ideas for us?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have watches. We have the Collegic watches. We have the brand new watches we got in, the Paris designer watches. And those are good for every day or as a dress watch. They have both different kinds. Jewelry. We have silver, gold, platinum jewelry, diamonds, you know, lockets, even picture lockets. We have in silver and in gold. If you wanted to get like a personalized, you know, you could get a locket and cut out a picture of something for your mom. Normally, you know, you put yourself in there since you're the kid. Yeah. Trying to think what else we have. We have silver bars and rounds that are mother themed, you know, and love or love themed ones with like teddy bears and stuff. That you can actually have engraved. There's all kinds of different things you could do, actually.
But, and for people to remember, too, because once again, I'll repeat this, May 10th, Mother's Day, what's the timeline if they want to get something engraved like that for mom? When do they need to have it to you, to be what they want to say?
Well, before Mother's Day.
Well, of course, Anna, thank you.
24 hours, yeah, 24 hours before Mother's Day would be the best time to do it.
Okay, so they come in, but they just ask if they buy the things just for them to just say, hey, can you engrave this for me?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the engraving doesn't take that long as it's about a line or two. If it's something that you're going to put a paragraph on there, it does scale it down to where it's harder to read. So I normally tell people I'd keep it under like about 10 to 20 characters.
Keep it pithy. Yeah. All right. We'll do that. All right. Tell folks how to find you.
We're at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. They can also find us on Facebook or on our website, mobilebaycoins.com, or give us a call at the shop. Phone number is 251-725-1590.
Hey, thank you, Anna.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, Anna checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Yep, May 10th. Did I mention May 10th? Duly noted, May 10th out there. And I also want to talk about this. We talked about the year. I thought about this. Talk about the years that 1-800-GOT-JUNK has been doing great work here along the Gulf Coast. Coming up here, I guess it's going to hit on a Saturday. So we'll celebrate, I guess, on Friday. Bear with me. I think the 17th anniversary for FM Talk 106.5 comes up on May 1st. So we'll be doing something on Friday. I don't know what it is, but we'll be doing something because it's actually going to be on a Saturday. But we launched it May 1st. And did I do that on May Day specifically to be a smart aleck? Yes, I did. All right. To the text line here. Oh, by the way, too, we talked about that. While I was gone, too, I guess the Nappy Awards are up. The voting portion for your favorites in media. So make sure if some of those great folks have nominated us and put us in those categories, You go back on there and finish the job. Vote daily the whole way through. I think it's like a month of voting here. Favorite radio station, we're in there. Also, I love this. Best DJ team, Dan and Dalton in the morning in the mix. So are Mike and Stu for Sip and Chew in the mix. I do love this. There's so many of these categories where we're all competing against each other. I think it's great. Best morning show, Dan and Dalton on there. Best talk show, talk radio host or show, Dalton Orwig, Dan Brennan, Jeff Poor, Sean Sullivan. We're all competing against each other there. I would appreciate your vote to beat out those ne'er-do-wells. Let's see. In the sports side here, Prep Sports Report, you hear on Saturday mornings here at FM Talk 106.5. It's up, as is the Paul Feinbaum Show. There, once again, we're competing against ourselves in categories, and I love it. Best Radio Lifestyle Show or Segment. I thought this was something like 1, 2, 3, 4 of the five are shows on the station. Coasting in Retirement with Josh Knoll. He was on with me Friday. My man Bill Finch in Plain Gardening. Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. And Law 251 with Tobias and Comer and Dalton. All up there as well. And favorite radio personalities, Dalton Orwig is in the mix, as am I. And I think you know what to do, which is probably going to be voting for Dalton. I get it. But make sure you go over there to the Nappies and vote away. We appreciate that so very, very much. All right, now to the text line here. Let's go to Michael first up, I guess. Said, did you and Todd Ivey, which is something Michael's taken to calling Todd Stacey, did you and Todd Ivey just discuss the fact that he's part of the governor's administration as her comms director, i.e. chief propagandist? Now, we were talking about his time in Riley's administration, but I get the joke. Supermom, what's up? Supermom, hadn't heard from you in forever. As hard as Biden, well, we can say that, effed this country over, nobody tried to kill him. As divisive as Obama was, nobody tried to kill him. This is way past the difference in ideology. Mental illness has devoured America's left. There's no denying it. Also, this is why we need that ballroom. Security could be hemmed up without there being a random hotel guest that are virtually impossible to vet. Like, the only kind of joke, and I kind of joke when things are serious sometimes. It's, but I try to keep it to a minimum to not sound flippant here. I did say upon reaction hearing the president speak after the assassination attempt, and I went, oh, because, you know, there's a bunch of conspiracies online that this is a setup, you know, there's a faked deal. Which, I mean, if you got that theory, please come on with me. I'd love to break that one down with you. Not even from a political side, just using critical thinking. But I would love somebody who thinks that it was a setup to come on. But I did joke. I said, well, he's finally going to get that ballroom. He couldn't get it done. Set this up so I can get that ballroom built. But you're right, Supermom. And it's what Leanne and I were just talking about it earlier. There's never been anybody that's, it's a president that's contrary to my political beliefs. I mean, as angry as I was about, you know, what was happening to stifle speech during the Biden administration, didn't want physical harm. I vote them out, send them packing, sure. But there was, it bothers me too. Like, when I hear that kind of discussion, it's because people become two-dimensional, right? Even with this guy's manifesto, he's going to go kill all these different people. I mean, it's Trump and other people. To what end? Number one, I mean, I think all of us that are normal would say, no, political beliefs don't get you killed in our nation, although maybe some argument to that these days. Shouldn't. Political beliefs shouldn't get you killed in this nation. In addition, the same thing I was talking about with Scrollverine earlier on the text is, Where's the logic in doing that is going to lead to, like, you know, they try to kill Reagan so Jody Foster would pay attention to him. A little different than, I'm going to kill the president because I don't like the war. I don't like what we're doing with Israel. I don't like these people need defended. Okay. How do you think that policy changes because you killed somebody? I mean, frankly, seriously. It's this idea that one's going to equal the other. Like, if I kill this person, then all these things that I don't like about this administration, they're all just going to go away. It's going to fix everything. I mean, that truly is, sorry, oh, that's crazy. That's crazy. Let's see. Killer bees. They don't check rooftops. They don't check rooftops. They don't check hotel guest lists. They have a $3 billion budget and couldn't pour, I'll say, pee out of a boot with directions on the heel. The fact that it's in a, I mean, just look at this. I mean, I'm sure there's, you know, people have got educated opinions on this. I don't. I'm not a, you know, didn't work for the Secret Service. Don't have that kind of experience. But the fact that you have a hotel, okay, and then sure you secure off the whatever, you know, the banquet room. You know, you picture walking into a hotel, right? There's a banquet rooms downstairs, whatever. Instead of the whole envelope of the building, so where you couldn't get closer. Oh, okay, when they show up, you seal it off. But what about the people that are already there in the hotel? I mean, maybe there's something that I haven't heard, but I don't know how you can explain that you have that kind of, to me. And he's coming with a, you know, he's coming with firearms. It's one thing. What if that person had a bomb strapped to him? I mean, to be that close and be able to detonate the bomb. Unbelievable. And like Dalton was saying this morning, I mean, I think by the note, if a bomb would have gone off and killed everybody in there, Chuck Grassley, you would have gone as far down line of succession as Grassley. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Let's see, Jason, you better believe that the only thing our Alabamian of the year is upset about is that her fellow No Kings loon was unsuccessful. Also, everyone in that video should be fired. None of them were paying attention, and the POS should have been dropped. Well, I mean, the texture right here is saying, I applaud them for not killing the man. You got to get more intel. You get more intel from a live person. Texture, whoever you are, I love that too, because this whole idea that, you know, when somebody's dead, then they're going to, it's always like, well, they did it because of this, they did it because of that. Now they get to find out from the person why they did it, beyond just what's in the manifesto. This guy, this is not one of those where they say, you know, we'll have somebody do this and they'll go, I can't believe it. He was such a, you know, there's no pres. I mean, although you have, you know, Crook and others that have, you know, had their internet washed on them. But this is not going to be one already. It's coming out like there's nobody saying, I can't believe he had already. He was showing this. So there was information out there already on this guy, but we'll get, you know, we'll get more attention on that. It doesn't have Meadows says, I'm going to try to take a positive out of the latest Trump assassination attempt. Kalen DeBoer and Ryan Grubb better get the film of that shooter running through the Secret Service and make it standard for the Alabama running back room. Did see that. gallows humor I can deal with. Another thing, where were the damn dogs? We have some of the best canine units in the world. Dude should be trying to get that Belgian off his leg. Yeah, and the sniffing, you know, Jeff and I were talking off air about, you know, you have bomb material, you have dogs around there that might be able to sniff it, but those same dogs would be able to sniff cordite out and ammunition as well. So that seems like a very risky thing for any president, let alone one that's already had two assassination attempts. Coming right back, we'll get your text, 251-343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:52, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have you along. And I'll get to the text line here in a second at 251-343-0106. Also works for a phone call, 251-343-0106. You can also leave a talkback message using the FM Talk 106.5 app. When you're on the app on the front page there, you'll see a microphone icon. If you press that, lets you record a message and email it to the show. I can play it back here on the air. All right. We'll get to the, I saw some talk about this, Kimball's statements about Melania. It's like, It's it's. I wonder if we don't come back from this. We don't come back. I don't think so. I don't think we come back in the rhetoric in this country. I think that beachhead is. We're already there, never coming back. As bad as it is, it's not. All right. Let's see. This from Joel in Somerdale. He said, I think they need to hire the damn shooter to tell them how they need to do it. He made every damn one of them look like a blanking fool. He needs to be on the CIA payroll. Yeah, to some degree, maybe. You can go back and see there. The problem is, and Joel, you're probably right, they need to think going forward what somebody might do. Because this one, you know, I mean, you figure out how the fox got in the hen house, and you patch that up, but the fox uses a different route the next time, right? Let's see. Squirrel Vereen. I figured the agents didn't shoot because he was so fast and surrounded by people. Movies like In the Line of Fire showed how the USSS, so United States Secret Service, checked out everything ahead of a scheduled event. What's troubling is that more are willing to take the chance and exploit weaknesses. Supermom says, I hate that they dismantled Crook's head, the Butler PA shooter. I have so many questions because who he was makes zero sense. There's way more to that story. Now it's a mystery to us regular Americans. Yeah, count me in. Mystery to me as well. At least this guy, they're going to get to talk to him. Yeah, and the people that said, so this is why I offered this up. I mean, if you think the conspiracy is, this is like, and to see this going off from the left, yeah, they're like, yes, just another contrived assassination attempt. The other ones I think they're wrong on as well, but at least there may be more meat on that bone. This one, tell me how this would have been the contrived, even though I had that little joke about the ballroom, how this one would have been. Why? How? Like, and they've got the guy now. So, I mean, it's this easy default, and I've seen it too, coming from our side, right? On the right, where it's just easy, like, oh, the only reason they did this is because of X, Y, and Z. You know, I don't like that president, so they fake this. And sometimes stuff just happens, right? In this case, please tell me, if you're one of those out there, and I know we have some on the text line here, if they will text back, tell me how this was, give me the methodology of how this was a faked assassination attempt for Trump. Not even politically, just give me the, all right, so this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened. I'm waiting. So, I don't like Trump, Orange Man, but no, tell me how they did it, and what the mechanism was here. All right, the Kimmel thing is interesting. The story reads this way. President Donald Trump called Monday to ABC or for ABC to fire late night host Jimmy Kimmel after he jokingly called First Lady Melania Trump a, quote, expectant widow, end quote, during the White House Correspondents' Dinner skit on his show last week. Hours earlier, Melania had implied Kimmel should lose his job over the same comments. Melania said Jimmy Kimmel should be immediately fired from Disney and ABC, and in a Truth Social post called the joke a despicable call to violence. Kimmel's monologue, which he made Thursday on the Jimmy Kimmel Live show, days before the alleged gunman attempted to enter the event where President Trump, Melania Trump, and other top officials were evacuated, included a joke that the First Lady had a, quote, glow like an expectant widow, end quote. Goes on to say, Melania said, his monologue about my family isn't comedy. His words are corrosive and deepens the political sickness within America. People like Kimmel shouldn't have the opportunity to enter our homes each evening to spread hate. A coward, Kimmel hides behind ABC because he knows the network will keep running cover to protect him. Enough is enough. It's time for ABC to take a stand. How many times will ABC's leadership enable Kimmel's atrocious behavior at the expense of our community? End quote. So, and by the way, it said representatives from... representatives for ABC and Kimmel did not immediately respond to CNN's request for comment. Said Kimmel, speaking during the mock version of the annual dinner two nights before the official event, delivered a series of jokes aimed at the president and his family. Typically, a comedian headlines the dinner, and Kimmel's skit involved him delivering remarks as though he were a comedian selected to roast the attendees. And so there you go. It's just a, you know, is it, once again, can we come back from the beachhead? I mean, is there any way to come back from the beachhead with these kind of, your thoughts? 251-343-0106. Coming back after the news to AL1 candidate, one-time congressman, candidate for AL1, Jerry Carl is going to join me. So you got questions for Jerry Carl, get them on the text line at 251-343-0106, and we'll be right back.